This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode from That Millwall Podcast. Today we have another special episode back by popular demand, hopefully get you through the international break. We have the Joe and Chaps Takeover Take 2. Let's say hello to Joe. Mr. Zampa, how you doing, mate?
How you doing? Yeah, really good, thank you. And you know what they say, is it so nice, we're going to do it twice. Hopefully it could be a regular feature going forward with you and I on this one, but enjoyed it last time. We had some good reviews on that one, didn't we, as well. So yeah, let's keep it going, see where it goes. How you been? All right?
Yes, mate, all good, thank you. We'll get into it. Obviously the result, most recent result, has left a bit of a sour taste, but I think overall looking good, and we're still in the top six, mate, so I'm happy.
Absolutely. So for those of you that listen to the chat with chaps on the Mill Podcast every week, it's really, really good. We get lots of reviews, lots of comments on that one. If you haven't listened to it, make sure you listen to the last one, and of course the future ones going forward. As you say, Chris, we're going to probably touch on the West Brom game, and I apologize, it feels like you're probably going to have to repeat a few of the things you said on the last chat with chaps. We can go through it very, very quickly, can't we, I guess, and just sort of, yeah, review it as we sort of saw it, really. So I guess the first question to yourself would be, you know, initially looking at the team sheet, the starting lineup, what was your thoughts on the starting lineup going into this game against a tough game against Huddersfield? Sorry.
Yeah, I was surprised, to be honest. That was my sort of first reaction, because especially some of the comments that Gary made. Feel like I'm on first name terms with him now.
There's a reason why Chris is saying that, guys, and we will reveal all in a moment, I'm sure.
Yes, we will. I was surprised because Rowett had said and suggested some things in the post Swansea interview, saying that, you know, he was going to change it up, and he since come out and said that he was very close to. I expected us to make a change in the wide areas with sort of Burke and or Watmore starting the game, and to kind of pin Huddersfield back. That wasn't to be. And in fairness, we dominated that first half and could have easily had one or two goals. You know, Vogie and Fleming are two really good opportunities. So it is what it is. I personally think that the lineup wasn't quite what I'd have gone with. But what about you, Joe? What did you think of the lineup? And, you know, as you've now had time to sort of reflect on the game, how are you feeling about that?
I'm in agreement with yourself, really. I mean, I was crying out for a change of players before the game. I actually tweeted before the game, say, look, you know, this is an opportunity now to, you know, to perhaps rest some players, bring some players, not calling them fringe players, or players that are probably not starting games at the moment, get them on. Get the likes of SA on starting. Get the likes of Oliver Burke starting. What more, maybe? Give these guys an opportunity in some ways to kind of show us what they're capable of doing, and make a claim for a place in the team. I mean, we're playing against a team that are, you know, hovering at the bottom of the table, who are low in confidence. Let's be honest. We know we're going to get a lot of the ball, and we've got to attack them quite a lot. So why not, especially in attacking areas, why not change it up, mix it up a little bit, get some fresh legs out there? And, you know, lots of SA and you know, people mentioned that previously, give them the opportunity to show what they can do, let them shine, you know? But it wasn't to be, was it, sadly? And I think for all the efforts, and you're right, for all the great attacking play in the first half, we didn't really come away much at half time. We had to kind of go against second half, but with a different type of feeling there, I suppose. I think we kind of ran out of ideas. And yep. Again, it's something that's become quite a regular habit. I think you alluded to it on your last chat with Chaps, that we seem to have this problem where we struggle, especially at home, against a team that want to defend. You mentioned, you know, the likes of Hull, QPR, Reading, Huddersfield. Why is that? What's the reason? Why do you feel we can't sort of break them down?
Yeah, I think we have one way of playing, which is when you're an underdog in a division like we are, and you're playing teams that have better players, let's be honest, that way of playing works majority of the time, and that is be defensively sound. And we talked about this before, you know, sometimes it's not the greatest on the eye, but it's effective for us. And I hang my hat on, literally, the fact that if we didn't play that way, we wouldn't be in the league position that we are, because it is effective largely. However, when you play teams that give us the ball and expect us to be, you know, we're not the underdog and we're kind of expected to beat them, and they sit back and that, you know, they give us possession of the football, we struggle to break them down. And I think we need to find alternative ways to do that. And one of the things I didn't mention, Joe, and I love your opinion because I know you're a fan of this lad. One of the things I didn't mention in my chat with Japs that I've sort of reflected on is Warnock is a great tactician. He knows the game like the back of his hand. And you know, one of the reasons they won the game was purely because of him and the way he set up. Would the game against Huddersfield have been a perfect opportunity to throw him a curveball and to start Romain Essay?
100%. Like I said, you know, I was really kind of pushy for that, and I would have loved to have seen him start. People say, yes, he's an impact player, he's too young, you know, get him off the bench. But the trouble is, he's getting 5 or 10 minutes sometimes in a game. And in those 5 or 10 minutes, he often creates something. You know, he's not the finished article, and he's still young, and I'm so pleased the Mill fans are not getting on his back for, you know, putting a missed cross in or messing up, because you've got to give this kid the confidence to kind of express himself. And it's amazing what he does in 10 or 15 minutes at the end of the game. If you give him 90 minutes, we'd give him 70 minutes of a game. Can you imagine what he can do for us? You know? Yeah. So, ask your question, yes, I think you should have started him. I mean, it's a big mistake not starting him. But then in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing, because, you know, had we gone 1-2-0 up a half time with Voggy's goal and Zian Fleming's goal.
And let's be honest, should have been, right? We should have been.
We should have been. You know, that would have definitely 100% would have brought Huddersfield out. And they would have come at us a bit more. We could have then attacked them a bit more, and they left more gaps behind them for us to expose. And it'd be a different game completely, wouldn't it? You know? I know, yeah, they didn't have many chances. I mean, looking at the stats, I've got them written down here very quickly, is that we had 18 shots, 4 on target. They had 4 shots, 2 on target. We had 72 possession. You know, they had 28% of possession. We had 486 passes. They only had 191. And you made a good point on the your last chat with Chaps, is that Huddersfield mill-walled us. And they did to us what we do to many of the better teams, you know. And one of the things I want to mention, and I guess we'll come to it in a second, we'll talk about the second part we want to discuss, was our tactics and our style of play. And that was very, very evident to us, to you and you and I, Chris, and you know, several other people that was watching yesterday, when we talk about it in a moment, in the way that they set out, you know, the way that they play. Mm-hmm. A lot played out to the wide areas, balls coming in, you know, and trying to score that way. Not often do Mill try to attack through the middle. You know, I think when they do, they get a little bit lost there. They're not quite sure how to create or find those little openings. I mean, Zian Fleming and Honeyman, I thought, linked in really well for the goal against for the chance sorry, against Huddersfield, because if you remember that, it was Ian Fleming who kind of started the run, played a 1-2 with Honeyman, goes through, brings out his left foot, and just couldn't quite wrap his foot around, could he, to find that bottom corner. But we can do it. But maybe it's something that we're not quite focused on. Maybe the tactics are set out to play it wide, get balls in, and try and score that way. So maybe they've got to mix it up a bit more, you know?
We need to find, like I said, 80% of the time, our style, although not pretty, it works. And that's why I'll always back the gaffer on that. But we do have to have a plan B. And our plan B was always Matt Smith, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it seems like it's Cooper now for the last 5-10 minutes.
But even then, we did that quite late on. So I just feel we need another plan B. We are getting better technical players in. You know, Romain Essay, although he's young, is very, very technically gifted. Obviously, yeah. Fleming is. Callum Stiles, who is unfortunately injured, very, very technical.
Yeah.
You know, good technical ability. So we need to start to... And maybe this is, you know, one for next season. I don't know. Whatever league we're in, eh? But we do need to start to be able to sort of break some of these teams down, because it seems to be our Achilles heel when we play poorer teams at home.
Can I ask you, and I think your vision was slightly kind of sort of obscured because of the dugout where you sit quite low in the West End.
I'm moving next year.
I know you are. I can't be meeting you in block
yesterday.
Four. Yeah. But yeah, Danny McNamara's defending. To allow that cross in for them to score from Darren Ward. Is it Darren Ward? His name is
Danny Ward.
Danny Ward. Yeah. What do you make of that? I mean, okay, I guess every player's entitled to make one mistake. I mean, to be fair, Danny Mack's been fantastic this season, I think, especially defensively. Was it a bit, you know, was it lack of focus? Was it just a lack of awareness? I mean, we could even dig deeper and saying, you know, what was Cresswell doing? Because technically, I think Ward was Cresswell's player. If you look back at the highlights,
yeah,
Cresswell's like the spare man. Cooper then comes across to try and stop Ward, which kind of gives him a free chance. Had he had a better, you know, vision behind him, Mark Ward, perhaps he may not have scored. I mean, what's your thoughts on the goal? I'm sure you've seen the highlights back, haven't you?
Yeah, time. I have now. I hadn't when I did my post-match. Yeah. So I have now. Look, I'm a huge Danny Mack fan, and I think he's had a great season. And whilst I think at times his attacking play could be improved, I think if it was to improve, he wouldn't be with us. And I think Millwall fans need to appreciate that.
Yeah.
The lad, Millwall through and through, gives his all the time. But ultimately, I'm sure if he was listening to this, he would admit he made an error for their goal. And the clearance up the line was a poor one. And whenever I look at and try and break down an opposition goal, I always try to look at the very first mistake, because to your point around Cresswell is absolutely valid, but that doesn't happen if the first issue doesn't, you know.
You're right.
So, yeah, I think it is an error, but he's been brilliant all season, and he's due one, right? So it wasn't his best game. He did make a mistake. His crossing wasn't great, but I'm sure he'll dust himself down and go again in the next game, because that's just what he is. And still early 20s, so you know he's still got learning to do, right?
He is. But also, I want to ask you your opinion, Chris. Again, you might touch on this on a previous chat there, but Oni Burke and Duncan Watmore, what seems to be the problem? I think we've signed these players and we're hoping these guys will make a difference. And occasionally, not often enough, they have added, you know, a purpose to our setup and our play. Maybe not consistently and not enough, and certainly not enough to impress Gary Rowe, because they're obviously not starting either. They seem to come off the bench. What do you make of that at the moment? What do you make of the dynamics there? Is there a problem? Is that what we'll be sort of worried about, do you think? Or is it a case of no, what doesn't break? Why fix it? Why change it, you know?
Yeah, and I think there's a few things probably at play here. For me, is that, first of all, I think, because of recent success and the results, and some of the performances haven't been great, but the results have been happening, Rowett has opted to keep the team as it is. And it's evident he has a lot of trust in Vogie and Honeyman. So I think that's one element. The second element is, I don't think he has that trust in Burke, being honest. I think Burke is... I always talk about him in terms of his physical attributes are easily a Premier League player. Easily.
but his end product and his footballing brain is probably League One. So therefore, you put those two things together, and he's an okay Championship player. I also question his heart at times. I don't know him. I don't know what, you know. But so I think the point I'm trying to make, I don't think Rowett has the same trust in Burke. And then I think with Watmore, I could be wrong, but I don't think Watmore was ever brought in to be a guaranteed starter because of his injury problems. I'm into it in a moment. I had the pleasure to talk to him yesterday as part of the day we'll talk about. And I don't think he was necessarily brought in to be a guaranteed star every game, but I think he probably would have liked a few more minutes than he's had. And I think the challenge for him is he's been in and out of the team, probably because of the trust and the solidarity that Rowett has, but also he has had a few injury problems since he's joined. And I think it's a combination of those things. I think if you read too much into it, you'll find more, but that's my take on it, Joe. Yeah. I don't know what you think, and I'd love to know your opinion on Burke, because he can be an exciting player, but at times he flatters to deceive. What's your view?
Yeah. I think with Burke, it's a frustrating one, because when we signed him, okay, we signed him on loan, I was quite excited about it. And I know it's kind of a bit of a mixed reaction from the fan base as to why we're sort of signing him in the first place, but I just felt he was needed. At the time, he was needed. We needed pace. It was very, very evident. I think Bury was injured at the time, and Bennett was, you know, maybe in and out. We needed pace desperately. I kind of felt, well, he's tried and tested. We know what he's about. We know what he can do. We know his limitations, but we also know his attributes and how good that is for us. And I was quite pleased with that. But you're right. Seeing him on the pitch, he does seem a little bit half-hearted. He doesn't really kind of go for the 50-50s that often. I wonder if it's a case of him not wanting to get injured. Think, you know what, I'm a lone player. I'm not contracted to this club. If I get injured, I'm kind of screwed a little bit, you know. So you mentioned wonder. Yeah, could it be, again, we don't know enough to answer this question properly, but could it be a case of him sort of sulking a bit? You know, not getting started on most games. Think, you know what, I'm better than this. I shouldn't be coming on the last 10 minutes. And always kind of like throwing his toys at the pram by having a bit of a sulk and not really trying too hard, which is the wrong answer, because you wanted to kind of prove his worth and why he should be starting. In some ways, you kind of wanted to kind of prove right, wrong. Think, you know what, this is why I should be starting. But who knows? It could be a mixture of everything, can't it? It could be carrying an injury. It could be just lack of match fitness. There's so many things we can kind of guess on. But very, very hard to say.
Joe, just whilst you're talking about Burke, if the opportunity to sign him permanently for free on a squad average wage, I mean, he's probably going to be a higher earner between 10 and 15 grand, I would imagine, because I think he's probably on a lot more than that at Werder Bremen. But if you had the opportunity to sign him and the financials made sense in the summer, would you?
If we could get him on a free and he wasn't like one of our highest paid players, he was like I said, an average wage player, I would say most definitely yes. I think that the question really is on Gary Rowett. Can Gary Rowett manage him, get the best out of him? Because there's definitely a player in there. There's no way this player's going to go to Red Bull Leipzig, what they're called. Yeah, the 15 million he went for, didn't he, like years ago. And, you know, there's a talented player there. You know, he's certainly got ability, he's explosive, he's exactly what we need. But he needs managing, he needs some kind of way, kind of, you know, coaching or motivating to try and bring the best out of him. And I don't think we've seen that quite yet. And maybe needs a regular start in games, you know. Chris, I'm just conscious we probably want to move on to sort of to the most exciting bit for you and I, of course, you know, and also for our audience, we can sort something about this. But just for you guys who are sort of guessing what we're trying to sort of keep from for the moment is yesterday, Chris and myself, we attended a Millwall sponsorship day. So this has been in the pipeline for some time. We've been sort of looking forward to this. It's been arranged by the commercial team. And basically, I was sponsoring that Zia Fleming shirt. So I've got an opportunity to sit down and...
Behind Joe.
Which takes pride over the George Saville shirt, which has now been demoted to the other side of the... into the room here. Yourself, Chris, you are sponsored Duncan Watmore. So we're going to have a very, very sort of quick sort of 10-minute chat on this one, really. So to talk about the day, really, and how it went, a bit of a review. You know, I mean... First of all, I mean, what was your thoughts? We arrived at 10 o'clock in the morning. We kind of going through up into the exec lounge. There's tea and coffee there waiting for us. And then we kind of go outside into the football pitch. What happens, Chris, when we're out in the football pitch? What was the surprise?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, just to pass the thanks on to the club for the day and for those involved in organising it, Edgar and Andy, etc.
Absolutely.
It was a really, really good day. So, first of all, thanks to the club for that. But yeah, no, so as you say, turn up, agree with teas and coffees, go out to the exec sort of seating area. Never felt so posh in my life.
The padded seats with the armrests.
We were privileged to watch a training session, which won't say too much, but I can say the highlight for me was a training game between the under 21s and the first team, which the first team
really
just
good
about won.
And the score was 1-0. Do you remember who scored it? The goal, winning goal from your wall.
Your favourite player, wasn't it?
Baltasarra.
Hashtag protocol.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he did. And what was interesting, I don't know about you, Chris, but I just thought, I know we spoke to Gary Wright afterwards, and it's just me, you and him. It was quite nice having that sort of 10-minute chat with him, weren't we? And what he said to us was, he told the players, especially the under-21s, not to hold back. He went a tough, grueling game for the men's senior team, if you like, and he wanted to kind of give them a half game. What I noticed there, I don't know about you, was possession-wise, okay, they're the under-21, but they're fit, they're young, they're quick. But the men's team just control them, didn't we? I mean, we must have, 85-90% possession?
Oh, yeah, they didn't get the ball, did they?
And it was only a 10-minute game, wasn't it? But how could we look against them? They were literally pegged in their box, weren't they, the under-21s? And bless them, they tried hard, and they did break a few times. But Nana Boateng looked really good a couple of times. He broke and looked quite dangerous. You know, could he be one for the future, potentially, for the men's team? But what was interesting, how controlled and how good we were on the ball, how comfortable we were in knocking that ball about. What did you make of the kind of setup of all that, how it all went?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the training sort of consisted of, without sort of revealing too much, consisted of a warm-up and then kind of like a very small sort of mini game between the first team with a few rules that we won't talk about, and then obviously the match, and then they finished with an attacking play, didn't they? So it was really nice, and I thought it was interesting again to sort of see the levels and the intensity in which training's played at, and also
full
to see
pelt, how, wasn't it? It was proper full pelt. There was no whole back, you know. Yeah.
It was, and then obviously a few particular players
great, yeah,
stood out that
maybe I'm glad you said that, because those of you know, I'm a massive fan of Rob Sammer, and and what was really interesting, you know, you often hear about players before we were in training, may not so great in match days and vice versa and all that. One thing I really picked up, and the players that really stood out in the training grounds, and you and I sit next to each other, we kind of joked about this, didn't we, a little bit, was Vongi. I mean,
look, class.
In the Mill versus Mill, the actual men's team, I think there's like a 6 or 7v7 game going on, wasn't there? 7v7 it was. And it's played on half a pitch. And there was basically like a possession drill where you'd make 5 passes. And then once you made the 5th pass, you could then attack the other team. And what was interesting was that Vogel got 2 assists. I think he scored 2 goals. And he looked unplayable, didn't he? Like, he looked really good. And then again, you look at the middle team against the under-21s. 1-0. Bradshaw wasn't there because he was in international duty. But Vogel looked really good. It really shot. It took his goal really well as well. People question, yeah, the fan base is divided. You know, is Bogey good enough to start for Millwall? Should we not be playing him? You know, I, for one, asked him before, love him, you know. And what was quite clear to me to see is that Gary Rowett watches training sessions, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, and he sees a player there. He sees his attributes, he sees strengths and his quality. And I think sometimes we question why certain players picked over other players. And maybe it's these training...
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Matches where you see the players, you see them, what they can do and their potential and their ability. And would you say that's a big part in his, not just his selection, but also his tactics and where he plays? I mean, you mentioned a good point to me earlier on, Chris, about, you know, them playing quite wide, not playing through the middle in a lot of their drills. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so, because I think ultimately it's the same with any job. When you're looking at your team, you're looking at players that come in every day, work hard, train well, the players that you believe you can trust to carry out your instructions on the pitch, right? So football will be no different. And for someone who, like Gary Rowett, who appears very level-headed, I have to say, I think it does play a part. And I think that's why the likes of Vogi, you could tell his intensity at training was the same it is on pitch. I'm not saying other players weren't. I'm just referencing that. But no, I thought it was great. And then Joe, we watched the training for an hour and a half, I think it was, and then we went inside when the rest of the fun continued.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a.
So yeah, so basically the setup was, and those of you that ever been in the exec lounge and watched a game. In the commercial lounge there with the commercial team. I must say, if you haven't done it, I know it's quite expensive. It's about £130, £140 a ticket to go and watch a game, but you've got to do it once just for the experience. It is really good. You do get like a free course meal, although we didn't get one for the for yesterday's one. It was more of a main meal and a small sort of dessert, I guess, was it at the end. But we all sat around this table. You've got 13 tables there. Each table, you've got maybe between sort of 12 people on the table. That includes the players. Now, most tables would have two players on there, and their sponsors would be on that table. Because I had Fleming, and I guess he's quite a sought-after player to want a sponsor, he was the only player on my table. And, of course, we had all the sponsors there. On your table, you had...
Ian Wadmore. That was it.
It was there's one more, and you had Mason Bennett. Is that
Martin
right?
Bennett, yeah.
I mean, just very, very quickly, without sort of revealing too much. I mean, what were Mason Bennett and Duncan Watmore like? I mean, what they sound like? What they're talking about to you?
They if I'm honest, they were what I expected them to be. So Duncan Watmore seemed like a really nice bloke, like really honest, professional, just very sound, very level headed. One thing he did say, which I think I can reveal, I'm sure I can, because it doesn't impact the club in any way, shape or form. I asked him, he played under three managers at Borough. He played under Neil Warnock, Chris Wilder and Michael Carrick. And obviously Michael Carrick was the one that let him go, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I said to him, out of those three, who was the best manager you worked under? And without any hesitation, instantly, he said Michael Carrick. I found that mind-blowing when you consider the experience that Warnock and Wilder have got and where they've managed in their career. Versus...
And the fact that it was Carrick that let him go as well.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But Duncan Watmore, proper gent, really, really nice guy. I sponsored a phobie for the season, and it's the only player that's left us. So, he was someone that, you know, I wanted to sort of swap to. So that was really, really, really cool. And then Mason Bennett, if you've ever seen a video on Millwall TV or whatever they call it, where he's on there.
What's he like?
He's the same. He's a top lad. really down to earth, quite like got good banter, bit of a laugh, quite a funny character. And he really, really enjoys it here. And, you know, we were talking about the fact that his contract's up in the summer. And
really? That's interesting.
It's uncertain for him, right? He's injured at the moment.
Really can't reveal too much there. But, I mean, was he quite optimistic in regards to, you know, the future at Millwall and potentially signing new contract stuff?
All I say is...
Is there one to be offered?
He said that conversations haven't been had yet.
Mm.
Which doesn't surprise me. That's why I'm comfortable sort of revealing that, if you like. But he would love to stay, which again doesn't surprise
me. That's what you want
to
hear, don't you?
Exactly. That's what you want to hear. And there's no doubt in my mind, and it's easy to forget this when he's not in the team, but when he, for me, if he's fit, he starts.
I agree.
Sorry, he does. I think that, and I'm not just saying that because I spent time with him yesterday. But they were both really, really, really nice. And as I say, the day was good. And it was nice to meet sort of others of the two of them. But Joe, you unfortunately, by surprise, you were sitting next to Mr. Fleming. So, you know, I don't know how that possibly happened.
Let me paint a picture, first of all. Okay, right. So I get to the table quite late after we watch the training pitch. I come back to my table and there's, I don't know, I think it's like 9 or 10 seats there. Seven, eight of these seats are very, very taken. There's a space there with two seats. It's me and my eldest boy, Luke, who came with me. And there's a seat next to me with a handbag on there and a coat. So I was trying to work out where I sit. So I sat
in the next seat.
Exactly what I thought it was. So I sat on my seat. Luke sat down. I said to the lady next to me, is this Ian Fleming's handbag? So she sort of laughed. Oh. She said, no, it's mine. I'm just reserving the seat for Zian. So she also wanted to sit next to him. So I thought, okay, right. So anyway, maybe sort of 10, 15 minutes later, the lads were showering, getting changed, and they all came together into the exec lounge, and they all found their tables, all sat down. So, of course, Zio Fremi comes over, introduced himself. What I say, first of all, for a young man who just turned 24, what a gent. What a lovely guy. So warm, so polite, you know, so professional in how he came across. But he shook all our hands, and he sat down, and, yeah, we all sort of started speaking to him a little bit, and I said, how are you? And we're chatting, and of course, I'm sat down next to him, I'm talking to him, you know, we had a bit of a chit chat, and I'm sort of looking over at the rest of the table thinking, well, yeah, I should, you know, clap for air now, let the others have a little word. So I sort of sat back in and let everyone else sort of talk, but then trouble is, not many of them will say much to him. So I feel, I'm a sort of person, I hate awkward silences, so I'm trying to fill in the spaces a little bit, you know, try and get him engaged, and they weren't really bothering. So I thought, okay, you know, after Carol talking to him, and then it got to a point where me and him just really filmed up for about an hour and a half with each other. I was just there, me and him just chatting away. And I tell you what, he was such a down to earth, lovely, lovely, lovely guy. I mean, again, without revealing too much, one thing I must say, hand and heart, is he loves Millwall. He loves the fans. I said to him, my first question to him is, so Zian, you know, tell me, why does he fucking hate West Ham? And he cracks up laughing. And he said, you know what? He said, the first time it ever happened, he said, my agent sent me this picture. And it was like a banner or something. And it says the words, the song, you know, Zian Fleming, you know, he comes from Amsterdam. He fucking hates West Ham. He said, I was with my girlfriend. So I looked and I was cracking up laughing. She thought it was hilarious. He said, and then the game after, I started hearing when I took a throw in. They started singing it. And of course, he then started remembering the banner. And he said, you know what? I love it. And his girlfriend loves it. And he said, it's a brilliant, brilliant song, he said. So he's all for it. He thinks it's hilarious, you know. But he loves the fans. He said to me, you know, there was so many clubs in for him before he joined Millwall. And it was us and one other team, which I think if you know who his other team was. It was very close to signing him. But he said one of the things that drew him to Millwall was two things. One, Gary Rowett. Yeah, he really liked his honesty. Yeah, he was very direct, very... very kind of what you see is what you get, you know, and very open, very honest with him, which she really liked. And secondly, he said, although in Holland they don't get much championship football shown over there, a lot is all premiership football, but what he heard about Millwall, which he really enjoyed, was the fan base. You know, he knows about Millwall, the fan base, how passionate we are. And he said that was another reason why it sort of drew him to Millwall, because he loves that sort of thing, you know. So, yeah, we see him going up to the fans and doing his pose and, you know, after he scores a goal and everything else and welcoming. He loves all that. So all I say to you Millwall fans listening, you know, you keep doing it because he loves us and I know we love him as well. And all I say is we're very lucky to have him. He's a lovely, lovely lad and he wants what's best for Millwall. He wants to play in the Premiership, he said, but he wants to play with Millwall. And he made it very, very clear, you know, he wants to play in Premiership with Millwall. And he'll do everything he can to try and get us up there. I was obviously congratulating him on his season, saying how well he's played, scored 13 goals, blah, blah, blah. And you know what he said to me was, he said, yeah, but I can do more. I was like, what do you mean? I said, you scored like 13 goals, you know. Because but...
Right, by the way.
Yeah, he said, I can still do more. He said, I can still do better. I can still do more. I want to do more for the club. I want to score more goals. I want to do more things. So I thought, you know what? Brilliant. Yeah, someone's not just sort of resting his laurels and thinking, you know what? I've done my bit. I've shown what I can do. He was really, really up for it, and he wants to go up. He said to me, he's very confident. And I'm sure the whole team are, but he wants to beat West Brom. You know, he made that quite clear. Yeah, we're going to win. We're going to beat them. That's
we made it clear to him and all, didn't we? We were like, you can't.
Exactly. Yeah. It was interesting. What we want to follow me very, very quickly. And I know we kind of pushed for time here, but about the man marking situation. So he reached out again, against Huddersfield, where they put a man marker on him. And what was interesting is he said it's the first time it's ever happened to him in his career, you know? And he was a little bit surprised it did happen. It was kind of, you know, new to him. And he mentioned that the battle he had with, is it Edmunds Green, I think his name is, the young lad that was marking him. I mean, what was your thoughts on that? Because he sort of took it quite positively. But I think for us, I think you and I were talking about this to him, in some ways it's a credit to him and what he's doing and his profile and in the fact that these teams are looking at him as a danger man and trying to pinpoint him as a player they want to try and stop. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I remember we used to do it. So Jimmy Abdu, whenever we played Norwich, he would not leave Wes Houlihan's side.
You told Zian this and he told us, Jimmy who?
you're not
a bad one there, don't worry.
That was my, I was like, they're entitled to do it, right? And it is a compliment to him. I think you know, that we just need to work out if that's going to happen again
and how you manage it,
how you combat it and how you manage it. And that's the way, you know, and I'm sure they'll have a plan for next time in terms of what they do. And and this is why, like, having the likes of someone like Styles out there or whatever, you have other technical players that if someone does mark him out of the game, you've got other players that can find these pockets of space and play through the lines. Just him, it makes it a bit more difficult. Just to sort of build on one other thing I'd say is, you called me over and thanks for that, to have a chat with Zian, and I'd echo everything you said. And I would just say the overarching feeling I got from him is that he's a winner.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that's with us.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind, now knowing a bit more about the person behind the quality of player he is, that he will play in the Premier League.
Oh, 100%. I agree.
He will 100% end up playing at the top level.
Yeah. And what was interesting, while we're touching on Zian, this brings us perfectly on to Gary Rowett, because after that, before I met Garrett, I had a photograph with Boggy, didn't I? Before and over.
Only knew, mate. Only knew.
Well, he was just sitting behind me. What could I do? I felt a bit bad for him, you know. So we had a chat with Gary Rowett, and again, that was lovely because it was just me, you, and Gary talking about 10 minutes. And
what a bloke? Seriously.
I see what I mean. People give him, you know, a bit of shit. They call him, you know, boring Gary Rowett. But I tell you what, he does get us. You know, I can see one of the players respond well to him, you know, and where we are at the moment, you know. But one thing he mentioned, he was very, very complimentary of Zian Fleming as a person. He's very complimentary of Volkshammer as well. Going back to Fleming, he said very, very quickly, he was talking about how great Fleming was in taking instructions and how he can see him being a future captain one day. So because he gave examples of, you know, I'll give instructions out to the team and I'll tell Zian what I want him to do and he'll deliver it to the team. Like, he'd be perfect to the point that if there's other teammates that are forgetting what Rowett said, you often see Fleming on the pitch pulling them up and shouting to them, pointing to where they should be and what they should be doing. And he said for him, that's a perfect captain, to have his voice on the pitch.
Yeah.
He also mentioned the professionalism of Voxhammer and Theo Fleming, because these guys, you know, coming over from Europe, playing in the English league, and what they bring to not just the younger lads, but all the British players who like in the way that they eat, their habits, in the evenings, what they get up to. You know, you mentioned about they're not really sort of partying too hard. You know, they're very focused on their careers and what they're doing in football. And you know, he said what a credit they are, what a joy they are to manage. And he mentioned about, you know, that the want and the desire to bring in more foreign players over the coming seasons, you know, which I thought was lovely to kind of hear him sort of speak so kind of openly about that. And again, very sort of complimentary of those boys in particular. I mean, what's your thoughts in very quickly in the Gary Wright sort of conversation? What do you kind of take from that sort of conversation?
Yeah, much what you said, mate. I just felt that he was really, really level-headed, really down to earth, really honest. He said to them, obviously, you're not going to, you know, to disrespect him giving us the trust, but he said certain things that I wouldn't have expected him to, you know, not major things, but, you know, he was really open. He answered any question we had for him.
Yeah.
He was just really well grounded. I really warmed to him, to be honest, I have to say. And I think I thought it before, and I've said this on my post match, and we may have different views, but I think we're very lucky to have him. And actually, yesterday and having a chat with him, and actually him taking the time to talk to us. And it wasn't one of them where he was chatting to us and you could tell he just wanted to get away.
No.
He was there having a good chat. I think he was asking us questions. I don't know. It was a really enjoyable part of the day. So, and I think it wrapped the day up nicely, didn't it? And after that, we collected our shirts. Famous one behind.
Have you got yours up yet? You got one more shirt up yet?
No, I need to find some room in the Millwall bar.
In the Millwall bar man cave, yeah.
I will do.
Yeah. That's so good.
Great day, right? A great day.
Excellent day. Now, I know we're running out of time in a little bit. There's a couple of things we want to cover off, so I'm sure we're going to it in more depth for the West Brom game. But very, very quickly, what's your thoughts on West Brom, the game? We all know it's going to be a tough one, but how do you see that one panning out?
So, look, they're going to be right up for it because they beat us and then it becomes in their hands to get into the top six and it comes out of our hands. So they're going to be bang up for it. Their home form is largely pretty good. You've got the Jed factor in terms of he'll be well up for it, given what happened last time. So I don't know if any of our players will be back that have been injured. So I don't know what squad we're going up there with. Listen, I would bite your hand off for a draw. And I don't care if it's the most. They could have 90% possession and 30 shots and we have none. As long as that scoreline is a draw after it, honestly couldn't give a toss. So
there's not many 0-0 draws I would celebrate. But yeah, 0-0, Jed not scoring, we'll get an assist. I'm happy with that.
I don't think that's out of play. I'm going to go with my heart and say I think it'll be 1-1 if I do a match prediction. But yeah, that's... I am nervous for it. And unfortunately, I can't go because it's my birthday weekend and the missus is playing something. So
Make sure the people surprise you and get your tickets for the West Brom game. You've probably got a nice home like stay there somewhere. Who knows?
Only. We can. Yeah. But what about you? How are your thoughts going into it? And if you had to give me a score prediction.
Yeah, a bit like you, really. I'm quite nervous. I mean, I've managed to get tickets for it, so I'm going with my eldest son. And we're going to go. But I'm nervous. I think, for me, I'll be happy with a draw. I mean, if we could get a win out there, it'd be absolutely amazing. Sort of do a double over them. But I'll be happy with a draw. Like I said, they've got a good home record. Jed Wallace, you know, he's got that extra bit of push about him, isn't he? Unfortunately, love him or loathe him, you know, he would want to get one over us. And let's be honest, especially after what happened last time at the Den. So we've got to be very, very careful with him. And I'm sure, you know, Rowett and the players will all be very, very sort of, you know, conscious of that. And I'm sure they'll do what they can to try and stop him. But yeah, they've got a good team, West Brom, not just Jed Wallace, because a lot of players there that can be very, very effective. My prediction is, yeah, my prediction is I think we're going to, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I think it'd be tough. If we get a 1-1, I'd be very, very happy with that. And that just keeps us in a good position, doesn't it? And makes the next seven games, yeah, a little bit more enjoyable going forward. So we'll see. We'll see how we get on. Just to end off very quickly, chaps, did you watch the England game last night?
No, mate, I didn't. I can't lie. I don't want to sit here and say it if I didn't. But I have watched the highlights back and read a lot about it, and it sounds like a really good performance. Not one out there since 61. So Harry Kane, all-time leading goal scorer, obviously. Obviously. But no, really good. And I think that, you know, the last two major tournaments, I think we played well in. I think we can say that, and we probably deserve to finish off better than we have done. So let's just hope this current group, with, you know, a bit more experience in Bellingham and players like that, that can really push on, and hopefully, I see no reason why we can't be, you know, at least looking at a semi-final, final place for this Euros. What about yourself, mate? What did you watch it?
I watched the game. Yeah, I did. I must say, it was, the first half was brilliant. I mean, we looked so, so good against Italy. Italy looked very average, to be honest with you. We controlled the ball and the style very, very well. Second half, they came at us a bit more. I think we struggled a bit. I don't know what happened. We seemed to sort of switch off a little bit, and we were very kind of lackadaisy and quite slow. Especially defensively, we didn't look as strong as we did in the first half. Not quite sure what happened there, but we rode it out. Obviously, disappointing referee, you know, put quite a few of our players, gave us a bit of a hard time, and of course, Luke Shaw set off, so made it a bit tricky for the last 10 minutes. But I think, again, we did well to see him out against, you know, it's the other home ground. We did very, very well.
Regardless of what they put out, it's never going to be easy.
Absolutely, exactly. And also, while on the subject, very, very quickly with England, great shout out to Romain Essay for playing for England under 18s. He started, didn't he, against Croatia? They won 2-1.
Did you manage to catch any of that?
Well, I didn't. I read a little bit of an article on it. He seemed to sort of play quite well. He then gets substituted by, is it Jude Bellingham's younger brother?
Oh, Joe.
Yeah, so he got substituted. He actually scores the winner, doesn't he? He's Bellingham. So, but no, I heard he played really well. And what was really good to see is out starting life, nine of the players all play the Premiership or play for Premiership clubs, and it's only SA and one other player that plays in the Championship. So,
Joseph, isn't it?
Again, credit to SA to be in the mix for that. And I've got real big hopes for this boy next season. I mean, Gary Rowett mentioned it as well, that he wants to play a big part next season for Millwall. So let's hope that he does get, you know, more starts, more opportunities to sort of play for us, and hopefully he could be a very good asset for us going forward. Is there anything you want to add before we kind of wrap up? Anything you want to mention?
No, I don't think so, mate. I just, all I would say is to the audience, if there's anything that you know, you want us to cover in these specific takeover things we're going to be doing, let us know. We're always open to amending it for what you guys want, and obviously appreciate you listening to us have a good old ramble for the last 46 minutes. So no, nothing else, Joe. And hope everyone has a good weekend, and I'm sure we're just all desperate now to get to the 1st of April.
Absolutely. Thanks as well. On that note, I think we could leave it there. Like I say, everyone just enjoy your weekends. We'll be back hopefully before the West Brom game to discuss that in a bit more detail. So I'll leave that to you just to sign us off then, Chris.
Yes. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks as always, Joe. Another good episode. And
enjoy the break, mate.
Enjoy your weekend, folks. Thanks for listening.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.